Yeah, it's my proposal today to look at what the Father's role is. And we've looked at, we've had the reading from Joshua. He is our example. And we've looked at Proverbs. And Proverbs especially teaches an awful lot of what it is to be a father. And the whole of Scripture really is a learning book for all of us, an instruction book for all of us for living a life, and especially as a role of a father. A mother and her little child, a four-year-old child, were looking through an old family album like you do, and she pointed to a man, and the little boy said, "Who's that?" And it was a handsome young man with black curly hair, and "Who's that?" And she said, "That's your father." And she said, "Well, who's that bald guy that lives with us now?" The role of father, the role of, I shouldn't laugh at your own jokes, it's terrible. The Old Testament role of father was a position of high status. You can see through the scriptures that it was a huge honor and responsibility to be a father of a whole household that involved servants, maidservants as well. And of course, the structure was known as the patriarchal society rather than the matriarchal society, that the father ruled. He ruled his household, he ruled his whole business and his whole household. And so the father commanded a high position in the family, as we see in the Old Testament times. His word was law. And the Hebrew word for husband actually means lord, master, and owner or possessor. And you can see that played out in Genesis 18 when Sarah referred to Abraham as my master, believe it or not. And also in Hosea, God referred to himself as a husband to the people. So there's that basis there. Now, this position of high honor was actually shared to a degree with his wife as well. And so mum and dad were expected to be treated almost like royalty within the family. They were to be held with high regard and high respect. The fifth commandment bears this out as well. What does it say in the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. That word honor is the same word that is used when we honor God. So in a sense, the Bible teaches that mum and dad are supposed to be given the same recognition and honor as we give God. In some sense, that they are on a par with God, if that makes sense. Of course, we're not God, but there's been to be that respect there. And we see this being played out in the New Testament as well, right up to more recent times. But today, sadly, in today's world, rightly or wrongly, and I know there have been excesses, there's been abuses. Men have used their status to subjugate and rule and abuse that privilege. But that does not get away from the fact that God's word teaches that the father is to lead the household. That the father is to lead the family as they are to lead the church also. God's word makes that very clear. But with that authority goes a huge responsibility as well. And that's the thing that we have to realize is with every authority, there is an enormous amount of responsibility. And this should be exactly the same today as well. And these responsibilities we can put into three groups. The father, first and foremost, is to provide for the physical well-being, for the physical welfare of the family and for each individual of the family. There was a little boy who was frightened by a thunderous flash and lightning thunderstorm going on, and he called out in the dark to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, come, I'm scared." And he said, "Son, God loves you and he'll take care of you." And the little boy says, "I know God loves me, but right now I want someone who's got skin on." It's the role of the father to be and to demonstrate God. Now, I know some of us have fathers who failed in that regard. And someone most close to me did not actually demonstrate being a father that well. None of us do it perfectly, but we should at least attempt to do it to the best of our ability by the grace of God. Now, I did have a slide to put up, but unfortunately, communication means it hasn't happened. It was a picture of a little child and Abraham Lincoln, who was an incredibly tall man, bending right over, stooping right over to talk to this child. And the caption underneath says, "No man is so tall as when he stoops to help a child." Wonderful statement. It is the father's responsibility to see that no one takes advantage of any member of their family. Obviously, they are to protect them. They are to ensure that they are in no way disadvantaged. Now, who are the disadvantaged people in the Bible? Who are the fatherless in the Bible? It says widows and orphans. And obviously, sadly, when in the Bible, when someone without a father, they were severely disadvantaged. Four specific duties come out from the word in the old Jewish understanding. A father was to have his son circumcised. He was to pass on his inheritance. And that doesn't mean necessary money and property. We'll see a bit further on. He's to hand that on to his firstborn son. And then he was to find his children, partners, husbands and wives. They went and found them. None of this romantic stuff. Anyway, and they were to teach them a trade, to pass on the trade. Now, economically, like I say, he was to provide all was necessary for the family, for every member of the family. And when someone failed in that, when they were lazy and they didn't actually provide and do that, the rest of the men who were honourable in that would actually shame them. They would scold them, make a public spectacle of them so that they would take up their responsibilities. You can read that in Proverbs chapter 6. Paul, the Apostle Paul, rebuked people in 1 Timothy 5:8 that if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, this is Paul's words, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we can see there's this responsibility for the welfare, economically and in every other regard, for the father for his children. The second responsibility is to teach the children. Now, Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." When it comes to the issue of morals, when it comes to the issue of religion and ethics, that responsibility first and foremost falls to the father, not to the mother. In today's world, all this has been abdicated to everybody else. Christian schools. Oh, I've sent them to a Christian school because they'll get taught decent morals. Well, those morals should be in place before they go to school. There are circumstances when a man can't always do it. And obviously it falls to the mother. But the first biblical responsibility for the teaching of morals, for the teaching of religion, for ethics in life, is the man's responsibility, the father's responsibility in the family, not the public education system, not the church, although we continue on in that role. No, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the major responsibility for this is actually to the man. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, it says there. Which means that just as children are to listen, so men are to teach. Fathers are to teach their children. What Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it. So training is about discipline, rebuking, encouraging, training, shaping. That's all part of teaching a child. And a child that's been brought up this way will rarely depart from it. And I know it's not completely 100%. And sometimes children wander away for a while, but it's amazing how later on in life they come back to it. I know in my own life that rarely do they totally walk away from the teaching of their parents. What does it say? These commandments that I've given you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In other words, our life is to emanate the word of God. It is to emanate the grace of God. If we're going to instruct our children, we have to demonstrate it, live it. It has to be every... When we look at issues in the world, we need to see it through God's eyes and explain it to our children in that way as well. The curriculum that the fathers should teach, what is it? The Word of God. The divine, revealed, inspired Word of God is what he should teach. He, that is the father, taught me and said, this is what the psalmist, the writer of Proverbs is saying, my father taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands. You see, the word installed in a child's heart results in wisdom, the word of God tells us. Wisdom. We should be about teaching our children the word of God so they have wisdom and understanding in their lives. And what does it say about wisdom? It says there in Proverbs 4:8 that it will exalt you. It will honor you. Godly wisdom never fails. Never fails. And the child that is properly instructed walk in the right path and doesn't get hampered or stumbled, according to Proverbs chapter 4 verse 12. All this is a wonderful result that will result in the child being grown up, mature, and properly balanced in their lives. And whose responsibility is it? Mum or dad's? Dad's. Dad, the father. It's his responsibility. Yes, he can give it to his wife to do when he's not around. But that's not an excuse to just avoid the fact that we are the first and foremost place of authority for that teaching. The father is to teach his children to be industrious, not to be lazy and idle. The example that we give out, what example do we give to our children? Are we lazy or are we industrious? You know, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. He learns this from his father. Children learn this from their fathers. You know, we are to be people who like a farmer, we prepare. I mean, there's a good example here. Preparation. Opportunity in industry. You have to do all the groundwork to prepare the ground. Then you have to tend it, nurture it. And then you have to be right on the right time to harvest it. I mean, a farmer in this country knows how that time is absolutely crucial to get it right. And this doesn't happen if you're lazy. If you sit around idle, you have to be on the ball. Our father's example is so important to the rest of the family, to their children. The father is to correct, chasten, and train his children. And I'm going to read to you some bits and pieces from Proverbs here. Now, this in our permissive society nowadays is frowned upon. But the Bible, God's word says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He'll bring delight to your soul. It goes on to say, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. That doesn't mean to go around whacking him with a rod every 5 minutes, but it says that when it's necessary, use it. But don't do it in anger. You're doing it because you love them and you want to shape them and mold them and train them. You know, a child left to himself will go right off the rails. And that is very true. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. I can say to you that as a child, I had a very strict upbringing. Has it damaged me? No. No more than any other. I went into the armed forces. I got knocked around quite a bit. Did it harm me long term? No. It actually shapes you. It brings you to the fullness of yourself. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. In other words, give them a slap. When they don't do as they're told, that's what the Bible says. Then the child will know that it's loved. Discipline tells a child that he's loved. My 35, 36-year-old son put his arm around me the other day, or a little while ago now. And it's funny, it's after he's got children. He put his arm around to me and he said, Dad, we used to think you were so strict when we were growing up, but we know you did it because you loved us. I wasn't strict. Well, ask Carol, wasn't that hard? But, you know, to them I was. You know, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Swindoll, some of you have heard of him. Yeah, a great preacher, teacher, great expositors of God's word, brings it down to a very, everybody can understand. He wrote this about being disciplined by his father, who was a Christian, a very committed Christian. He said, I vividly remember my last spanking. It was on my 13th birthday. As a matter of fact, having just broken into the sophisticated ranks of the teen world, I thought I was something on a stick. My father wasn't nearly as impressed as I was with my importance and newfound independence. I was lying on my bed. He was outside the window on a muggy October afternoon in Houston, weeding the garden. He said, Charles, come out and help me weed the garden. I said something like, no, it's my birthday, remember? My tone was sassy, which means cheeky and arrogant, and my deliberate lack of respect was eloquent. I knew better than to disobey my father. But after all, I was the ripe old age of 13. He set a new 100-meter record that afternoon. He was in the house and all over me like white on rice, spanking me all the way out to the garden. As I recall, I weeded until the moonlight was shining on the pansies. That same night, he took me out on a surprise dinner. He gave me what I deserved earlier. Later, he gave me... Under control. Later, he gave me what I did not deserve. The birthday dinner was grace. I can remember so many times disciplining my children and feeling dreadful about doing it. And then going to them afterwards and giving them a big hug. But to have not given them that discipline would have been the wrong thing.
Yes.
Completely the wrong thing. We are to teach by good example. When a father gets it wrong, you ask for their forgiveness. You tell them that you've done wrong and got it wrong. A man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's not about wealth and prosperity. That is about a good conduct and a good name, a good example. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. You know, I wanted to share this with you. To our forefathers, our faith was an experience. To our fathers, our faith was an inheritance. To us, our father is a convenience. To our children, our faith is a nuisance. Sadly, that's how it can go. We need to make sure there is an experience, that we experience the love of God and demonstrate it to our children as well. So what are the results if we do all this? Well, when a father takes the responsibility for this, he will teach them the right thing. He will lead them the right way. And these are the results that you can expect to see. Your children growing up wise. That's most important, isn't it? A wise son brings joy to his father. Proverbs 15:20 tells us, "My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad." Proverbs 23:15. So many other meaningful scriptures again in Proverbs. "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad, that she who gave you birth may rejoice. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his son. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth." You know, it's all about, if you want your children to honor you, then bring them up in the right way. And don't be afraid to discipline them, to train them in every way, and to example that yourself. It's nothing worse. Children see hypocrisy glaringly. Why do so many children walk away from the church? Because they see so much hypocrisy in their parents and in the church. We are, as fathers, to bring spiritual direction to our families. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, what will we do? We will serve the Lord." That is the responsibility of the man. To give spiritual direction to the family. Leadership in the family is by the man. Often it's the case that the man's spiritual direction leads the family. Not always, I know, but that is what is scriptural. This is what the Bible talks about. So it's an enormous responsibility being a father. We are to care for the whole spiritual well-being of the whole family, every individual member of the family. And in the early days, in Abraham's days, the father acted as the priest for the family. They did the sacrificing and all the... And then obviously when Mount Sinai and the role was altered a tad. No longer were they necessarily the priests of the family, but they certainly had spiritual responsibilities to give spiritual direction and training within their families. They were responsible, and we are today, brothers and sisters. We as men are responsible for the family worship. The worship that takes place in the home. The worship that takes place in the church. You know, when we actually renege these things, we later on reap the sadness of seeing children wander away and not following that way. We must, as fathers, show that Jesus is the head of our household. That we are answerable to Jesus and accountable to Jesus in every way. I can't think of anything more wonderful than a family gathering around the meal table, turn the television off, sit down and have a meal. This is what we did when we became Christians. Our children thought we'd gone crazy. But we sat around the table and had a meal, a family meal, and then we got out the Word of God. And we would have a devotion together as a family, and we'd have a share time, then we'd have a prayer time. It was a wonderful time. I miss it now, terribly, terribly. Get a bit tired just talking to your wife all the time, don't you? I can't bait her like I did the kids. No, it is our responsibility. And, you know, it is, first and foremost, the responsibility of the father for the love in the home. We think, oh, this is the wife's role. No, no, no. The man has an enormous influence over how love emanates through the home. A father can squash love, or he can encourage it and endorse it and amplify it. A child will grow and develop in a family that has love in it more so than a child that is suppressed and dominated. Love. Children grow in an environment of love. And mum would appreciate the fact that the father is taking over the role of these things. It's so important. So important. I say we're responsible for the family learning, the family coming together and learning about what it is to be in community, to live together, to understand one another. We had to have, men should have the try and have the wisdom of Solomon when dealing with the family. Not just, oh, go talk to your mother. Go talk to your mother. Let your mother sort that one out. No, no, no. That is our responsibility. I wish men would stand up and do what they're supposed to do. You know, there was a father who'd won a prize, a toy, in a raffle. And he called his children together to ask them which one of the children should have the present. And so he asked them these questions. Who is the most obedient? Who never talks back to mother? Who does everything she says? And all five children said together, okay, Dad, you get the toy. These are important things that we should show a mutual love and understanding one for the other. Not dominate, not oppress, but give freedom, but also give direction. So much fun is to be had in family, and it should be had and not squashed. Fun, sharing in the financial responsibilities of the home are important. But what is most important in the home is prayer. Your children need to see you talking with God. They need to experience you having that relationship with God. You know, Christianity isn't just a religion, it's a relationship with God. And we have to show children our relationship with God for real. Our accountability. How do we apply this to our lives? Well, obviously, every aspect of family life lies within the power of the Father to enhance it or to hinder it. We are not to smother. We are rather to give people freedom. I always said I brought up my children to let them be free. So many parents bring their children up to be an extension of their own lives and never let go. We need to bring our children up to be free so that they can then develop their family too. God doesn't expect us to be hanging on to the apron strings. So we need to bring our children up to be free agents. And to give direction to the family like Joshua. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We've heard the expression, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Well, we should never play down the role of motherhood. Absolutely not. Vitally important. Things that a woman does, I can't do. And absolutely, it is their role. But really, when it comes to the well-being of the family, it is the man's responsibility. It is the father's responsibility. God's word tells us that. And I think it's high time that men stood up and took up their responsibilities in the home and also in the church. Amen. Jack Appolitos writes Our granddaughter's second grade class was asked to write about their personal heroes. Her father was flattered to find out that she had chosen him. "Why did you pick me?" he asked her later. "Because I couldn't spell Arnold Schwarzenegger." And something else to share with you before we all go. Charles Wordsworth wrote, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong."
Yes.
Being a father is not easy, but it has its dividends. And it's not about what we get back, it's what we give out who's most important to our family. So we must, and also realize, I wanted to just end by saying that, can we see how much of our Heavenly Father is here? Yeah? He cares for us. He looks after us. He rescues us. He saves us. But still gives us that freedom. You know? And what does he expect? He expects honor. But does he demand it? He expects that. But sadly, he doesn't always receive it. And we as fathers don't always receive that honor either. You know? But Jesus always sought to show reverence and honor towards his Heavenly Father, and he never did more so than in the Lord's Prayer. So let us end with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our last song together.